Well, let's turn tonight in the Word of God to Exodus chapter 40. Well, let's read from Exodus chapter 40. Reading from the verse number 34. Well, let's read from verse 33. Exodus 40, the verse number 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gates. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Amen. May God indeed help us as we consider his word afresh tonight. Just reflecting upon this entire series on the tabernacle, I couldn't help but note that in many ways you have a compendium of biblical truth. There's so much content regarding biblical systematic theology and also indeed practical theology. If you think of all the things we've seen in the 20 plus sermons on this series, we've considered much regarding the character of God, his justice, his mercy, his willingness to accept sinners and commune with sinners. You're seeing so much regarding the character of God and his ways in grace. You're seeing the doctrine of salvation. You see how the way to heaven is opened for us by the blood of Christ, the high priest or forerunner, going through whereby the veil is rent in twain and we can approach the very throne room of God. You think of what we've seen regarding the matter of Christian living or personal walk. Think about the importance of feeding upon Christ and the showbread and benefiting from the light of a candlestick, Christ by the Spirit, opening our eyes in fellowship and communion. Think of the matter of the altar of incense and how, as priests, we offer our prayers upon Christ. You think of how this speaks to the sinner. All of this coming in gospel truth, realizing to the sinner that we can only come to God by the sacrifice of a substitute. When you go right back to the brazen altar and the importance of sacrifice and atonement, but the importance of transference of guilt or guilt placed upon the sacrifice, the sacrifice suffering what we deserve. Even the very pillars around the court speak of us standing in the presence of God, surrounded, covered with the linen of righteousness. All of these things are taught to us in the tabernacle. It is it's a very detailed look at so many biblical doctrines. And as we see in the Word of God, there is nothing out of place. The Bible is a unified form. And so in all the types we see different angles and glimpses upon the eternal truths. And so as we come to the end of the series, I want to look here at the closing words of this third section of Exodus. It is often commented there are three sections. When it comes to the book of Exodus, there is the account of the Exodus itself. There is in the Sinai times and the giving of the law. And then there is the building of the tabernacle. Well, this third section, the tabernacle, closes in verse number 33. So Moses finished the work. All of the gospel. It's all coming. It's all been explained and given to us in the Exodus. And then you have the words of verse number 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. All of doctrine, all of grace, brings us to the attention of the glory of God, and we're caused to come and see God in his presence and in his majesty. And we know from elsewhere, of course, in Exodus, that this cloud takes a particular form. It is in the form of a pillar. Exodus chapter 13, it says there, in the verse number 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. We have, of course, reference here, cloud and fire, this latter part of Exodus chapter 40. You have a reference to cloud and to fire, verse 37 and 38. And so we're seeing this pillar being the visible manifestation of God as He comes and His glory fills the tabernacle. And so as we contemplate this pillar of cloud and fire, we'll reflect and hopefully we'll draw together some of the studies we've considered over the last number of months. The first thing to note in this pillar is that in this pillar is the presence of God. The presence of God in the pillar. From verse number 38 of this last chapter, we see that it was clearly the Lord's intent that the cloud was visible. Know what it says. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel. It was a visible manifestation. It could be looked upon. Now that is very significant. We've seen in recent times that in our studies on the Ten Commandments, communion, that we are not to make any graven image. God is not visible. He has no body, parts, or passions. And so whenever God uses some physical phenomenon to show Himself, there are clear truths being shown in the symbolism. None of these things are accidental. God deliberately chooses these things to show Himself to the people. And the symbolism here is particularly pointing us in the direction of the presence of God. And this pillar of cloud and fire represents to us the presence of God with His people. Let me show you that and prove that to you again. When you study the language used for the pillar in Exodus, you will see that the word pillar in this reference is often used synonymously with the very glory of God. It is so here. The glory of the Lord fills the tabernacle. And the cloud was there when the glory of God fills the tabernacle. And if you go back to Exodus chapter 14, please. Exodus chapter 14. Here again, a reference. And here it is in this intriguing reference to the angel of God. The angel of God is often referring to the pre-incarnate Son of God, pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, and the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went before them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Synonymous terms, the angel is represented in the pillar. Many theologians, and I think they're right, suggest just whenever there is a visible manifestation of God, it is the second person of the Godhead that is seen, pointing us to the final truth that God the Son will come in incarnate form, in visible form. And so we see here this connection between the person, the angel of God, and the pillar of the cloud. And keeping that in mind, you then turn to chapter 16. Chapter 16 in the verse number 10. And here there's a very explicit reference to the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The end of verse number 10. And behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. It's very emphatic. It's very, very clear. And then one last reference. Chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And the verse number 7. Exodus 33 and the verse number 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at the tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And so when you see the pillar coming and the cloudy pillar coming, well, you're seeing it is indeed representative of the very presence of God, the special presence of God, so that the people respond in reverence and fear. We remember from chapter 40, Moses does not go in unless he's invited. He cannot enter And here we see also in chapter 33 in the verse number 10, when they see the cloudy pillar, what happens? They rise up and they worshipped. They're in the presence of God and they worship the Lord as he manifests himself in the clouds. Whenever it comes to the Day of Atonement and the description of that in Leviticus chapter 16, the Lord says to Moses to tell Aaron his brother that he should not come at all times, because he says, I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. So you see, it's very clear. There's very emphatic references to this being the presence of God manifest in the cloud. That's, again, an interesting point to note. The Hebrew word for the inner tabernacle is the word mishkan. It's the word that's used for the inner tabernacle, the structurally considered in recent times, the holy place and the holy of holies, that tent-like structure. That word mishkan means a dwelling place. That's what the word is used. In other terms, it is the dwelling place. And so the tabernacle was, remember, looked upon as the dwelling place of God. Now, mishkan's the noun, it's the naming word, the word that describes this tent. And so I've asked you to remember that in the Hebrew, those nouns, they come from an equivalent verb. Well, the verb from which this word mishkan comes is the word, the verb, the doing word, shekan. So you get mishkan, and that latter part of the word is the form, the verb, where this noun is then derived from. Shekan is the verb, to dwell. Mishkan, the dwelling place of God. From which comes a term that you'll be familiar with. And that is the Shekinah glory of God. And so the Jews understood that in the cloud, in the pillar of fire and cloud, there was the Shekinah glory of God. The glory of God coming down in his presence amongst his people. Well, we know that God is not limited by space. He is the infinite God. He is omnipresent. But in the Bible we see revelation regarding his special presence, where he comes and is specially present at a time and in a place. And so we are seeing here the very presence of God. God is present. And when God comes, it is known, it is obvious. God is the Almighty. He comes and his works in and through his people. And so what do we learn from this? We don't see any fiery pillar today. That is not what is happening in this new covenant age. So what are we learning here as we read back? Remember, this is all recorded in the Old Testament. For our admonition and for our instruction, we're to learn here. We're not to go outside and look for a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire. So what are we to learn? How is it fulfilled today? Well, I've already pointed you in the right direction. And that is, when God makes himself visibly known, it is a pointer to the coming of the Son of God in incarnate visible form. Christ fulfills the Shekinah glory of God. He comes. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. On the Mount of Transfiguration, there was the unveiling of the Shekinah glory of Christ as he's transfigured upon that mount. The glory of God manifest in the person of Christ. You see, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now, I'm laying the foundation here, and there's, again, some tremendous points of application here that we will see regarding the importance of this to the New Testament church. But in Colossians chapter 1, you have the reference in verse number 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." The fullness of God dwelling in the person of Jesus. So you have in chapter 2 of Colossians and the verse number 9, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." The presence of God in the person of Jesus as he came into this world. The Lord Jesus in his humanity once more fulfills the types and the shadows of the tabernacle. His flesh is the dwelling place of God. It shows The significance of a word that you have in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. The miracle, the wonder of the incarnation, whereby Christ is present with his people. And that presence, which was physical on this earth, has not ceased in the sense of his special presence continuing with his church. We know that in body he is in heaven. In his humanity he is not omnipresent. He is at the right hand of God. But there are assurances in the word of God that Christ is present with his church. We think of the comfort we have regarding our witness. Go into all the world. Lo, I am with you. To the end, the presence of Christ as we engage in witness of the church. We think of Christ's presence with us as we worship. Revelation chapter 2. He is the one who walks among the candlesticks. He walks in the midst of the church as they gather to worship and to praise his name. He is present with his people in our witness, in our worship, in our work. Matthew chapter 18, we often refer to that, where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. But it's in the context of the church working by disciplining sinners, by disciplining the unruly. The church at work, and Christ is present, ruling and discerning and judging as the church works out its business. This is our comfort. This is our assurance. The presence of God. You might say to someone, I wish we could see God's presence in the way that they did. I wish we could have that in our experience and see the cloud. We have far greater. We have the sure word of testimony of the word of Christ and his word who came into this world that we can be reconciled, fulfilling all the types and the shadows. Don't desire the types and the shadows when the anti-type has come and is still present amongst his people. You think of the comfort of Hebrews chapter 13. You know the words, verse number 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You think about the Shekinah glory of God, and you read the book of Ezekiel. And the glory moves part by part away from the city until it departs. Ichabod comes. No Ichabod upon the new covenant church. Christ never, ever, ever forsakes his church. Never will and never can. As we continue to witness and to worship and to work according to his blessed will. And so in this picture of the Shekinah glory, we're seeing the presence of God in the pillar. But moving on from that, I want you to note also in the second place then, the purposes of God in the pillar. A pillar in the Bible often speaks of a structure that is marked by strength, stability, reliable. That thought gives us much comfort when you think about what the pillar did. What was the purpose of the pillar in the Old Covenant? And if that was the purpose in the Old Covenant, marking God's presence, then we ought to see that being true in the New Covenant, in the work of Christ. And we will do. We see that. You see, turn back please to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. What is the pillar for? What does the pillar do in the experience of the people of God? Well, Exodus 14 and the verse number 19. You know the account of Exodus 14. The Egyptians are pursuing after the Israelites. They've had the Passover. They've left. They're on their way. And they look back. The people look back and they are terrified. Verse number 10. They were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And what happens? Well, verse number 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. What does the pillar do? The pillar serves protection. It provides protection for the people of God. The presence of God protects His people. Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so I will not fear what man can do unto me. We have the assurance of Christ's presence. Therefore, our souls can know no harm. Nothing can befall the soul of the child of God, because Christ is with us, protects our souls. You think of how he prays in that high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. Listen to some of the words of John chapter 17 as Christ prays for us. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. In verse number 15 of the same portion, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Christ's presence, Christ prayers for our protection, and we are kept by the power of God. Protection. Well, what about Numbers chapter 9? Turn to Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9 in many ways gives us more details from what we have at the end of Exodus chapter 40. In Exodus 40 we have the account that when the cloud was upon the tabernacle by night, and so it was throughout all their journeys. If the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. The cloud that served protection also served by way of direction. We have that in Numbers chapter 9. Verse 15 and following, and on the day the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, and at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. We have this reference to the cloud coming. And then look just for example in verse number 19, and when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. But when the cloud moved up, then the people journeyed. The presence of God served to direct the people in all of their ways. I wonder, do we still believe that? That Christ continues to direct His people? That He so ordains our affairs? That He moves us? Takes us forward in His will? Moves us from place to place in His will? We have the promise, of course, in the Old Testament, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Christ is our good shepherd. His rod and His staff are with us. He is leading us into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He is our directing, blessed Redeemer and Shepherd. He is our good friend. And in His presence He directs us. Thirdly, we have the assurance that in the pillar we have the promise of communion. Look at Psalm 99, please. Psalm 99, you will of course remember that in the details of the tabernacle, we know for a certainty that the purpose of the tabernacle was that God would dwell with His people, but He dwells in terms of His speaking voice. We hear God speak, and that's recorded for us in Psalm 99, the verse number 7. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. Here's communion with the very voice of God. The Lord spoke to Moses, and through the prophet He speaks to the people. If He is with His people in the church, then He is present in communion. That's what I want you to appreciate here. Right? I've tried to make the assertion that Christ is still present in His church. He is present with His people. He fulfills these types and these shadows. Therefore, if Christ is with us, we hear His voice. That's how you know Christ is present in the church. It's not a fuzzy feeling. Not some warm glow. You know, be very careful when you make some assertion, I really felt the Lord here. Think of the hymn writer, I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Be careful to assert something. How do you perceive the presence of Christ in the church? How do you feel that? What are you expressing, I hope, when you say you felt the Lord in the church on a given day? Well, what you're expressing is the fact that you heard the Lord speak. That is how his presence is manifest in the church. And I can prove that to you. It's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Here we have the reference to the unbelievers coming to the church. Verse number 23, if therefore the whole church be come together unto one place, and then you have the reference of tongues or prophecy. Prophecy is encouraged. The people are there. They hear the words of the prophecy. And what do they say? Falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you, or God is among you of a truth. God is really present. How did he know God was present? Because he heard God speak in the words of prophecy. As the word of God was opened up, as he heard the revelation of God, so he could say, God is here. And that's the mark. The sense of God's presence. When you leave the house of God and say, God spoke to me today. God spoke into my soul. I heard his voice. Then we have the comfort that God was indeed amongst us. And Christ is present in the church. So when you pray on the Lord's Day or the Saturday evening and praying for the work of God in the Lord's Day, and you're praying, Lord, come amongst us, be present amongst us. You're really praying that God would speak. That he speak to your heart. And so as you pray for Christ to be present in the church, pray that you'd have an ear to hear the word of God. Being swift to hear. We'll see more of that on Sunday evening, the Lord willing. Well, finally, just to be close, we've thought about this matter of the presence of God in the pillar and the purpose of God in the pillar. I want to finish by just making a comment regarding the provision. The provision of God in this pillar. Wherefore does the pillar come and rest among the people? Well, back in Exodus chapter 33, going back there, we have the account of Moses going up after the sins of the people and the concern of the Lord going up with us. There's an intriguing reference here to the presence of God. Exodus 33 and the verse number 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. What's the connection? The presence of God is a mark of God's grace. Moses says, if I have found grace, God says my presence is the manifestation of my grace. We do not deserve to know anything of God's presence in our lives. And yet we have these promises in the word of God that Christ has given, that he's present with his church. It's all of grace. Bow in worship and thank the Lord again that we have his presence. It's all of grace. And it's all of grace in connection with the finished work of the mediator. Turn back once more to Exodus chapter 40. Grace through the work of the mediator. Verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. Then, when? Verse 33, so Moses finished the work. The mediator's work was complete. The tabernacle was constructed and the glory of God comes down. It is a type. It's pointing us to that time upon Mount Calvary when Christ, our greater Moses, our greater mediator, says, finished. And what happens? All power is given unto me. Why is all power given unto Christ? Because he was obedient and was given the name above every name. The mediator's work is finished. He's given all power, all authority. Therefore, he says, go and I will be with you. What happens in Acts chapter 2? Christ, the risen and glorified, conquering, Moses-like mediator, is in the presence of God. And what does he do? He pours out the promise of the Father, the Spirit of God, whereby he sends out another comforter, the presence of Christ in the church. That's why we have such assurance of the Lord's presence. because Christ has finished the work. Therefore, he is present with his people. That's our comfort. In all of your doubts and discouragement, that's your comfort. I think of it this way. When the presence of God was over the tabernacle in the cloud, no earthly storm could blow that cloud away. It was there. The wilderness storms could not shift that cloud. Christ has died. The work is finished. His presence is promised. No earthly storm can blow the cloud from off the church of Christ. Nothing that happens tomorrow or the next day or this year in this land or across the globe, nothing can take the cloud from off the church. That is our great confidence. That's what the world does not understand. And that's what we must not forget. Help us to pray in the remembrance of the presence of God with his church. The Shekinah glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. May God encourage us again through his word tonight. Amen and amen.